If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to the book of Proverbs. It's in the Old Testament, just after the book of Psalms. And we're going to be looking at just two verses from Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. The elders of this church have asked me to share with you this morning something that I shared at the valedictory service at Treverton when finishing up there as chaplain 2 years ago. The word valedictory simply means a final message of farewell. And so in a very real sense, this is also my final message of farewell to you as a church that both Cynthia and I have loved very deeply and have been part of for 25 years. Thank you for your faithfulness in prayer for Cynthia and I. Proverbs chapter 3, and by the way, those of you who may, I'm not sure if anybody was, is there anybody here that was in that particular valedictory service 2 years ago? Good. Well, don't be afraid. I'm sure over the course of 2 years, you've probably forgotten something of what was shared then, and I can assure you it will also be slightly different this morning as well in many ways. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight." Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Father, we want to thank You for the incredible promises in this verse. I pray that You would bless this to our hearing, to our listening, and more importantly, to our understanding and our responding to Your voice through the message of this proverb from Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. I've also was planning to use my little remote thing yet for operating the PowerPoint slide. It'll come up in a moment. But I think the distance is a little bit too far there. So if you see me doing this, I'm not pointing you towards heaven, although that's what I'm going to be doing. I just need to signal to the guys there just to advance to the next slide. So please just ignore that part of it and just focus on what the Lord is saying to your heart. Not focusing specifically on what I'm saying, but on what God is saying to your heart. A few years ago, as his son was preparing to go to college, a father by the name of H. Jackson Brown decided to put to paper the things that his son, Adam, most needed to know as he prepared for life in the grown-up world. And his notes were eventually published under the title Life's Little Instruction Book. Now, I don't know if H. Jackson Brown got his idea from King Solomon, but the book of Proverbs was basically written with the same idea in mind. The wisest man that this world has ever known, King Solomon, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, put the wisdom of God that he had accumulated in his life over the years to paper. Well, in those days, it wouldn't have been paper, it would have been some kind of parchment, actually. And he presented this collection to his son. And that is what has been preserved and been handed down to us, preserved by God. The book of Proverbs can indeed be said to be God's instruction book for our life. It deals with every facet of life experience. Those times where we can require practical wisdom and guidance for things such as our relationships, our money, our careers, our ambitions, our decisions, you name it. This morning I want us to explore something of the wonderful wisdom that God has given us for His classroom. And His classroom is called everyday life. It's as we leave the church this morning and go into everyday life that these principles need to be put into practice in our hearts and our life. And these things are recorded in God's original life's little instruction book here in the book of Proverbs. And I want us to focus on these two verses in particular. If you can just put, sorry, that is there already. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. And it's very similar in the ESV, if you can see it at the bottom. Just a slight change in the grammar, but it's saying pretty much the same thing. And what great verses these are. What an incredibly great promise. And if you haven't memorized these verses yet, I urge you to memorize them today. Because I believe it can have a major impact on your life. It's about getting your life together. And more than that, it's keeping it together. And it deals with some important principles of what I want to speak about this morning concerning the theme of my message, which is trust in God. Thanks, Andre. I believe this is an important message intended for all of us here this morning. Because the only way that we can make sure that our lives work and are supposed to be lived the way God intended is if we trust Him at every level. Today, as we look at these verses from the book of Proverbs that teach us how to put our trust in God and when to put our trust in God, I trust that we will learn something of the wisdom of God for our life. Solomon points out three specific times in these verses when it is most crucial for us to trust in God. And to trust Him by relying on His leading. And to trust Him by depending on His guidance. And more importantly, depending on Him. First, he says that you need to trust God. Thanks, Andre. You need to trust God when things happen that you don't understand. This verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding of things. There's a little self-help book on the market called When Life Throws You a Curveball, Hit It. By the way, if Steers in Pietermaritzburg have picked up on that, and they've got a huge sign outside their branch in Borsov Street. So next time you ride past there, you'll see it says, when life throws you a burger, eat it. I'm sure the manager of that branch read that book sometime or other. What I really want to impress on our hearts this morning is that when there are things that happen in our life that are hard to come to terms with. In other words, when life throws you a curveball, you need to know how to hit it for a six. And that's simple advice and much easier said than done. The problem is that if you're anything like me and like most of us, sometimes we don't always handle curveballs the way we should. So when life takes an unexpected turn on you, and when something happens that leaves you feeling absolutely shattered, and those times when it feels like there's nothing that we or anyone else can ever do about it, the good news, God's word says, is this. You don't have to try so hard to understand everything that is happening. In fact, often the very worst thing you can do is to try and figure things out and try to handle things on your own. So when things happen that you don't understand, and believe me, I believe this applies to all of us here this morning. When things happen that you don't understand, that is when you need most of all to put your trust in God. You can say, and I believe it's okay to say this. It's okay to say, God, I don't understand what is happening. I don't understand why you've allowed this. I don't understand this situation. I don't understand this business failure. I don't understand why this relationship has gone sour. I don't understand why I'm having these health problems. God, I don't understand why things are turning out this way. It's so different to what I had expected. But I know that you know what is going on here. And God, I know that you care about me. And God, I will put my trust in you. Thanks, Andre. Okay, then. Next. No. Back. There's a package. Yeah, that package. I just came across a picture here of a little package. And I think the problem is that if we are really honest, sometimes in life when it comes to our trusting God, things aren't always so clear. Things aren't always uncomplicated. Things aren't always kind of so neatly packaged that you feel you can even put a pretty ribbon on it. And that's the way we often want things to be when we trust God and we're seeking His guidance and His leading, isn't it? We want to have to pigeonhole everything and say, this is how I get from A to B. And I also believe it's very easy to trust God when things are going well. It's very easy to trust God when things are going according to plan. But what happens in those times when it isn't? By way of biblical example, we see something concerning this in the life of Abraham. Remember that well-known story? Abraham, a man of great faith and great trust in God. Yet there was a time in his life when this is exactly what he didn't do. You remember the story? At a time when Abraham was childless, God told Abraham that he would be a father of a great nation. He says in Genesis 12, verse 3, through you, Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed. That was God's promise to him. Abraham's wife, Sarah, was well beyond childbearing years. And Abraham couldn't imagine how God could possibly keep this promise. So Abraham and Sarah put on their thinking caps, so to speak. And they thought they had better try and figure things out for themselves. And so they chose one of Sarah's maidservants, Hagar, to be Abraham's surrogate wife. Now, this is only a speculation on my part, but since Sarah was involved in choosing Hagar, I can only guess that Hagar probably wasn't the most beautiful of Sarah's maidservants. But that's just based on what I know about women and wives. And anyway, Hagar soon gave birth to a son, Ishmael. And when Ishmael was born, God said in effect, "Congratulations on the birth of your son, Abraham." But this really wasn't what I had in mind. Your wife, Sarah, will give birth to her own son. And his name will be Isaac. And it will be so when I know the time is right. And Abraham and Sarah thought that they had everything figured out. But you see, the relying on their own understanding was so much more limited than what God actually had in mind concerning their future. He had a greater plan than they could ever have imagined. But they lost focus of God's plan and purpose and His promise and what He knew was best. You see, there was a time in Abraham and Sarah's life that they didn't put their trust in God. They began to put their trust in their ability to work things out according to their own limited understanding. And disaster ensued. You know, the story goes on that Hagar and Sarah soon became to a serious parting of their ways. Hagar eventually ran away with Ishmael to a foreign land. And throughout history, the sons of Ishmael and the sons of Isaac, which are the Arab and Israeli states of today, they've been bitter rivals and they've been at war with each other practically ever since. And I believe it's a painful reminder of what happens when you don't trust God and rely on your own understanding of things. Friends of Moira River Baptist Church, things may be happening in your life that you really don't understand right now. And maybe you don't understand right now how you could possibly take the events of your life and turn them around to be a blessing. You may not understand, but God does. And God wants to use what is happening in your life in a way that brings Him glory. And He wants to use what's happening in your life in a way that can be a testimony to His grace in your life if you trust Him. And maybe you don't understand how He could possibly do that when things are in such a mess and so upside down in your life. You don't have to try so hard to understand. Trust God with the things you don't understand. Those times when you've got so many questions in your heart. Keep committing your situation to Him and trust Him. I need to briefly explain the meaning of the word trust. You can just carry on there a little bit. Unfortunately, it's a bit too much light to be able to read there. The word trust is a Hebrew verb that means to throw oneself down on one's face. To kind of do a belly flop, but not on your belly, onto your face. Face down before God. To lie spread-eagled, humbly and completely submitting yourself and your situation before God. It's a word that means expressing complete reliance and dependence on Him. With all our fears, all our concerns, and all our failures. Not having any self-reliance on our own ability. And I heard somebody once say this, it's kind of like fainting completely into the loving arms of the grace of God. Where you stake everything on the gospel promises of God towards you. Knowing that you can trust God's truth, knowing that you can trust His wisdom, knowing that you can trust His faithfulness, knowing that you can trust His love for you. Real trust is that blunt, that caring, that daring, and that simple. It is as this verse says, trusting in Him with all your heart. If you want to know what the Hebrew of that word all means, it simply means all. It is trusting Him wholeheartedly, fully and completely, with everything and for everything. And He will never fail anyone who trusts Him that radically. Because we can rely on Him completely to do what He has promised to do. And that is to take care of you. You can just go on to the next slide. I think it should be a blank there, Andre. No. No. Right. At this point, I just thought it would be good for me to play for you a song by an artist called Lauren Daigle. It's a song about a very difficult time in her life when she and her family had a lot of questions. And things didn't work out the way they had hoped. And things didn't work out the way they had prayed for. And she says it was a time when she had to reflect on whether she was going to rely on what she saw right then, or whether she was going to trust in God. And to trust who He is. Thanks, Andre, if you can play that song for us.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at Your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what You see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need Your rest. Mighty warrior, King of the fight, no matter what I face, Your battle.
To trust in God in every situation that you face and in every path that you take. Solomon says here in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him. To acknowledge Him means to submit to His will, and that's the way the new edition of the NIV renders it, to submit to His will. That's one way that you acknowledge Him. Or as the New Living Translation puts it, seek His will in all that you do. And it simply means to put God first above all else and in all things. It means making the decision to always do things the way God wants you to do them. That's a way of acknowledging Him. It is saying, God, this is not my natural inclination. And it's not an easy choice that I need to make, because Lord, you know, I always want to go this way, but you want me to go that way at times. But Lord, I know that what you want me to do is right. And I know that this is what you want. And I know I want to do things your way. But this phrase, all your ways, is not just for every decision that you need to make. It also includes every situation that you need to face. Sometimes things go so wrong in our life. Sometimes it's because of our wrongdoing. And sometimes I believe it's also because of the wrongdoing of others in our life. And it's at times like that that it leads us to ask, where is God when things like this happen? Well, sometimes we ask, what good can come from this? I want to touch on that here in a moment, as well as a little bit later. But do you remember the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis? Do you remember some of the events in his life? Let me just turn with me to the book of Genesis, and I just want to skim through just two or three verses there. The book of Genesis, chapter 39. It's very easy to find. It's the first book. Genesis, chapter 39. And these events in his life from chapter 39 to 41. We turn there for a moment. I'm not going to go over all of that now, except I want you to remind you of a few principles here. I want to remind you of this. Genesis 39. These events are about the time when Joseph was a son on one day. And overnight, because of the wrongdoing of his own brothers, the very next day he went from being a son to being a slave. And where was God when all this happened? If you look at verse 3. God was with him. And Joseph acknowledged God in all his ways, and God granted him success in everything he did, even as a slave. Then if you go over to verses 20 to 23, then there was a time in Joseph's life when he was a slave on one day in the household of Potiphar, and the very next day he was a prisoner because of the wrongdoing of Potiphar's wife. And where was God? You've seen verses 20 and 23. God was with him. And there, right there in the prison, Joseph acknowledged God, and God granted him a success in everything he did, even there in the prison. Then if you go over to chapter 41, then there was a time when he was a prisoner on one day, and the very next day he was a prince. And where was God? God was with him. And God revealed to Joseph what he was about to do. Read the verses 16, 25, 32, and 43. God reveals his truth to Joseph of what he is about to do. And Joseph eventually was honored by being put in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Went from being a prisoner to a prince. And the important thing I want us to realize this morning is that it was in all his ways. In his heart sore and his heartache moments. In his happiest and his joy-filled moments. Where it was that he went from hero to zero, or from zero to hero. Joseph acknowledged God. And he trusted in God's unfailing grace and God's unfailing goodness in every situation. And God began to turn things around in his life. Friends, I don't know how to say this any more simply than this morning, is that God's promise to us is not that difficult and painful circumstances won't come our way. Did you hear that? God's promise in these verses is not that difficult and painful circumstances won't come our way. But God is always faithful to his promise that he will be with you in the situation that you find yourself because of those circumstances. And when life hurts, when it feels as though the sacred has been torn away from out of your life and out of your heart, the promise of God is not that it wouldn't happen. The promise of God is that you would be held by Him, and you would be loved by Him, and you would be sustained by His grace in the situation that has resulted from what has happened. You see, friends, sometimes tragedies happen. Sometimes the very worst thing we can go to somebody when they've had a tragic event in their life and say, don't worry, something good will come from this. You need to understand sometimes circumstances happen. And God's promise is not that those circumstances would not happen. God's promise is that He would be with you in the situation that results from those circumstances. That's His promise. But I must move on. Thank you, Andre. Thirdly, we need to trust in God when the future seems so uncertain and so unclear. Verse 6 says that, and He will make your paths straight. A while back, I was driving back from Durban through to Pinetown after visiting a church pastor friend down in Durban. And there had just been a huge storm. And it was quite late enough in the afternoon that it was getting very dark outside as well. And I didn't know the neighborhood where I was going through very well. But as I drove through it, I could see that this certainly wasn't the very best neighborhood in town. You know what I mean? In fact, my wife kept on saying to me, this is a perfect place for a hijacking. In fact, it's the kind of neighborhood when the cops stop you, they ask you if you've got a gun. And if you don't, they give you one. That's just a joke. But fortunately, even though I was very fearful and I had very little idea where I was going, I trusted Mrs. Garman's voice on my GPS. And even though Mrs. Garman was taking me through a shortcut that I didn't have any idea where I was going, within 5 minutes or so, I was where I knew where I was heading and where I was supposed to be. It's an amazing thing asking for and trusting and then following directions. Makes you wonder why men in particular don't do that more often. Friends, when it comes to living our life, we can follow one of two strategies. We can either wander around in the dark, trying to figure out on our own how to get there, and sometimes losing our way more often in the process. Or we can trust and follow the clear directions that God's Word has given us. And it is simply to trust in the Lord with all your heart, more than what you can ever trust in Mrs. Garman. Someone that you've never met or even can know. Whereas, how much more can we trust in God? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will begin to make your path straight. Sometimes when you look to the future, you don't always see a straight path. There isn't always an A to B. And sometimes all you see is a kind of a steep, rocky, very winding road, kind of cluttered with the debris of your past. And there's huge obstacles that need to be overturned and moved aside. For some of you this morning, perhaps the journey into the future for your life isn't like walking on sunshine. Remember that little song of some years ago, Walking on Sunshine? Whoa, and it's starting to feel good. Forget how the tune goes, but remember the words. Sometimes life isn't like walking on sunshine all the time. Sometimes it's more like stumbling through fog, and sometimes the future doesn't seem very bright at all. Sometimes it feels very bleak and cold and murky. And friends, the point I'm trying to make is this, is that this is the very time to cling to your trust in God. If your future seems uncertain and unclear, you need to know that He wants to handle it with certainty and you need to trust Him. And He will, in time, begin to make things clear. And in time, things will begin to make more and more sense. In the NIV, I don't know if it's going to come up there. Thanks, Andre. Okay, it's unfortunately with the light here and the coloring that I've used, it's a bit. But what it is really saying right at the bottom is in the NIV, it says, He will make your path straight. In the New King James Version, it puts it this way, He will direct your paths. And then the New Living Translation says, He will show you which path to take. You need to trust Him. This verse isn't saying that He will make life easy. But it does mean that He will make your life focused. He will give you direction and a sense of renewed purpose, meaning, and significance in life. He will make things clearer in time, and He will begin to straighten out those bumps in the road. And you will know more clearly the way ahead, where you are to be going and what you are to be doing. Do you know where that all starts? I'm hoping this is going to come out on this over here. Thanks, Andre. Yeah, it's a bit vague there, but do you know where it all starts? It all starts by taking the first step. And what is that first step? That first step is to trust in the Lord. I came across this one here. where this whole verse is going up these staircases, and the very first step is to trust in the Lord. You see, faith is taking the first step in trusting our Lord and to keep trusting our Lord. Even when it seems as though we don't see the whole staircase ahead. See, we are so concerned with events that happen in our life, either the details of the events or the details of the circumstances that brought about that event. But God wants us to understand something so much deeper and so much more significant than that. When we ask those questions, God, why is this happening? What is the good purpose here? You see, God is concerned with the purpose behind what has happened. And more importantly, the purpose in our trusting Him in whatever has happened. And whatever the reason it has been for the having happened, God says, I want you to trust my purpose. And what is that purpose? Thanks, Andre. Just that far. What is that purpose? It is as Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says, and we know that in all things, what's the meaning of the Hebrew word there for all? All. In all things, God works together for the good of those who love Him. But what is this good, we ask? Is it that our situation must now work out good? Is that what this word verse means? You see, we often stop reading this verse up to there. But this verse goes on to say, thanks, Andre, who have been called according to His purpose. There's a purpose in this. And what is this purpose? We need to read just a little bit further to verse 29. Thanks, Andre. It is that our heart is to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ongoing process that the Bible refers to as, we use the theological term, sanctification. That's simply what sanctification is. That's the ongoing process. That our life reflects Him and brings glory to Him. That our heart begins to look like His heart. And when we get tied up with that word a little bit earlier where it talks about we've been predestined, I know that simply means that when He had you and me in mind in eternity past, this is what He had in mind for you. I want to end with a song this morning that I want us to listen to in a moment, reminding us of this very important fact. It's a song by Chris Tomlin called Your Heart. But before we listen to that song, just that song will make a bit more sense to you, particularly the younger ones here this morning. There's a phrase in the song that says Jesse's kin. That simply means to David being the son of his father Jesse, speaking about himself. David here in the song speaks about oil dripping from my head, that time when he was anointed as king. There's a phrase, pastures I could tend, which refers to the fact of when he was once a young shepherd boy. Another phrase, when I hide inside a cave. That time when he was hiding from a jealous King Saul who wanted to kill him. Probably the one of the worst circumstances in his life, hiding in a cave. Goes on in, I think the last verse, it says about five little stones. David begins to think back, not to the five little stones family. But five little stones that he picked up to use in his sling against Goliath. So I want you just to listen to the words of this song that reminds us of what God's purpose ultimately in life, in every situation that we face. Thanks, Andre. Hope you get the whole song.
It never was about the oil dripping from my head. I never did dream beyond the pastures I could tend. It never was about the praise, not about the street parade. I didn't really need a crowd when Goliath fell down. I never meant to woo a king with simple shepherd songs, or hide away inside a cave, safe from danger's arms. I never meant to wear a crown or try to bring armies down. It never was about me and who I hoped to be.
It's been very difficult to sum up 30 years of ministry and the last 25 years here in Mooi River, and particularly the last 2 years of my life. And I know I've gone a little bit over time, but I need to conclude this morning as I come to a close. But just reminding you of what God wants you and I most of all to know. And it is simply this. It doesn't matter in life if you are a prisoner or a prince. It doesn't matter to God if you are a shepherd boy or simply a keeper of sheep. Whether you are a keeper of sheep or a king. It doesn't matter so much to God whether you are a president of the country or a petrol pump attendant. Whether you go from hero to zero or even from zero to hero in your situation, your position, your status, your reputation, or in whatever you may even achieve or accomplish in this life. The most important thing of all to realize is this, and this is what I often shared with my Bible Ed students in class at the college. The most important thing of all life, as I often said, this as the last thing to the matrix before they left my class for the last time. The most important thing to realize, Andre, thank you, you put on slide 21 there. More than whatever you do or go through in life. Thank you. More than whatever you achieve or become in life. What matters more? And what matters most to God? Is what you become in your heart while you are doing it. And what is that? That your heart looks like His heart. God bless you as you grow in that last phrase, becoming more and more a reality in your life. As you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding of things. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Thank you and God bless you.